sometimes following God's will includes risk, especially when His ways are unconventional. In fact, God's choice for your life might include pushback from your friends. It might involve your obedience over your comfort. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll recounts the story of a Jewish couple, Mary and Joseph. Her surprise pregnancy preceded their marriage. And on today's program, Chuck invites us to see this awkward dilemma through the eyes of the young man who held a supporting role rather than taking center stage. Chuck titled his message with a question: Joseph, did you know?
Oh, our Father, have mercy on us. It seems as though in this generation we have lost our way. And without you, our Father, there is a destiny that is beyond tragic. How we need your mercy. How we rely on you for strength to go on. We pray that somehow, our Father, in the midst of all of the evil of our times, that we will not forget the one source of peace and hope and righteousness and forgiveness. Guide us with a delicate hand of the Spirit of God upon us as we walk quietly through these days ahead. May we hold our children closer. May the words, "I love you," flow more freely from our lips. And may we learn never to take for granted the life that has been given to each one of us and to our loved ones. We pause on this day to thank you for your Son who came that we might be able to have life and the strength to endure. You who gave us your one and only Son understand better than anyone. Our Father, we acknowledge our faith in Him and we declare our hope in His plan to make all things right in the days yet future. Until then, we walk humbly with you, our God. Peter was right. To whom shall we go? Lord, you have the words of eternal life. And we find those words in none other. Please help us sustain our walk with you and our trust in you. And may we be led to some kind of solution to the madness that is increasingly gripping us as a country that was once God-fearing, Christ-honoring, where people had dignity and life was precious. We pause at this moment to thank you for the perspective that your Son brings like none other. And just as you chose Mary to bear your Son, we pray that there will be a number of us chosen to fill a role that will make a distinct difference in a world that has lost its way. We give our gifts today that they might be used toward reaching this end of touching the lives of others with the only message that will last through time and eternity: the gospel of Christ. It's in the name of the Savior we pray these things. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To study the Bible on your own, be sure to download our Searching the Scriptures Bible Studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now, the message from Chuck titled, Joseph, Did You Know?
This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother is engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, Matthew was careful to write, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Before the marriage took place, that's very important, before they ever had sexual relations with one another in the joys and intimacy of the marriage bond, she, while still a virgin, became pregnant. Verse 19. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. He thinks about what is the right thing to do. He cares about her. And so he decided to break the engagement quietly. He's careful. He's thoughtful. He is also realistic. If you are like I, born in a little town, and raised in that little town, you know how townspeople can talk. And they like nothing more than to talk about things that are shocking, surprising. They prefer things that they would consider shameful. Imagine between two neighbors. Either Joseph is lying, or he's totally clueless. And the other one responds, the kid that she's carrying is the result of some Roman swine. He's the father of that child. I've seen how she looks at the soldiers here in our town. What's that you say? God is the father. Oh, yeah, right. Sure. Gossips can be cruel. Joseph knew that. For him to go through that is one thing. For Mary to go through it, she's the one pregnant. He has nothing to do with it. Leave her to go through it. But he's a just man, and he struggles with that. What makes it interesting is that none of the things Mary has discovered and heard has been known by anyone else. Check it for yourself. Luke 1 covers it very carefully. She is always alone. She's alone when Gabriel arrives. She is alone to hear Gabriel's words. She is alone when she is told, you will be carrying the Christ child. She is alone at the moment of pregnancy. No one else is around. All alone, this information comes to Mary. Joseph is not there to hear any of it. Isn't it interesting that none of the parents are mentioned? Her parents, never mentioned. His parents, aside from names, we know nothing. Did he talk to his father or mother? It's doubtful. It's very unusual if she would have talked to hers. They wouldn't have heard such a thing. I appreciate the words of Douglas Connolly, who writes of this. At first, Joseph couldn't believe what he was hearing. He even entertained the thought that Mary was joking with him, but he knew Mary would never joke in such a coarse way. What she said was true. She was pregnant. Joseph's first question was the one any man would ask in the same situation. Who is the father? Joseph's conscience was clear. He had never violated the purity of the engagement period. His relationship with Mary had been carried out in full view of her family and the close-knit community surrounding them. But Mary, obviously, had not been the person Joseph thought she was. One of the things that had attracted Joseph to Mary was her humble desire to live transparently before her God and before the community of believers around her. But now, in one brief conversation, he found himself confused, his perception of Mary shattered, his life in shambles. When Joseph asked her who the father was, Mary said that an angel of God had spoken to her and told her she would conceive miraculously. Her son would be the promised deliverer, the Messiah, God's son. She said it so calmly and confidently, but how could Joseph believe a story like that? It's a strange question to ask you, but if you were the parents and your daughter told you that, would you believe her? This is a good time for me to introduce the words of Malcolm Muggeridge. He always has a way of putting an edge on things. The late Malcolm Muggeridge writes, as he observed what would have happened had she gone to a family planning clinic in our generation. He observes, "It is in point of fact extremely improbable under existing circumstances that Jesus would have been permitted to be born at all. Mary's pregnancy in poor circumstances and with the father unknown would have been an obvious case for an abortion. And her talk of having conceived as a result of the intervention of the Holy Ghost would have pointed to the need for psychiatric treatment and made the case for terminating her pregnancy even stronger. How could a girl this emotionally unstable handle a child? Thus, our generation, needing a Savior more, perhaps, than any other that has ever existed, would be too humane to allow one to be born." So all of this is churning in Joseph. He wasn't there. He didn't talk to the angel. He only has his engaged fiancé's words to go by. They're shocking words, and to make matters even more complicated, she's gone. She leaves. She goes and spends 3 months with Elizabeth, her relative. Elizabeth, an older woman who is carrying her child, not by way of a miracle, but a remarkable conception in that Elizabeth is so old, as is her husband, but at least they knew who their child had been fathered by. So maybe needing counsel, maybe needing reassurance, Mary leaves the message with Joseph and leaves to be with Elizabeth. If there's one thing you want to do in a time that is filled with surprises like this, it's to talk. But there's no one for Joseph to talk to. He can't talk with his parents about such a thing. He certainly wouldn't talk to her parents. For all we know, she had not even told her parents yet. And so, verse 20, "As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream." Before going any further, that implies that Joseph was asleep. So I take it that he has left Mary, or she has gone on. He stumbles back to his apartment or little home where he lives, drops in bed, restless, exhausted, confused, trying to believe his ears and thinking about how it would be to stand before the rabbi and try to explain to the rabbi that it's not his child. So the divorce has to happen. And suddenly his night is interrupted by an angel. The angel appears in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit." The angel affirms Mary's story. The angel says what she said is true. He adds, she will have a son and you are to name him Jesus. Interestingly, firstborn were always named for the father. He isn't the father. But you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Little by little, his training in the synagogue began to seep in. The scriptures teach this. The prophet Isaiah has written, a virgin will conceive and bear a son. She will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Could it be that he remembered that scripture? In fact, Matthew adds in verse 22, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. So Matthew doesn't wait for Joseph to tell us anything. He simply inserts in the narrative the words of Isaiah, which were written centuries before you read of a virgin conceiving. Skeptics will say it has nothing to do with the virgin birth of Mary. It is the Hebrew Alma, and it means a maiden, doesn't necessarily mean a virgin. However, when it is rendered by Matthew in chapter 1, as the account is repeated, Parthenos is the Greek word used, which means specifically one who has never known a man intimately. So that's cleared up. Joseph knows of this, but had no idea it would be his fiancée who would be the chosen one. All of a sudden, Joseph moves from a realm of safety and distance and places himself at risk. I'm sure there would be friends, if he had shared it with them, who would have said, that was no angel you heard. Please, your mind is playing tricks on you. You say, Chuck, where do you get all of this? Well, I'm human. I'm looking at this like any man would look at it. All of you look so pious. You're all wondering, how could I even think like this? You would think like this if it were your fiancé. She is not as loyal as I thought she would be. And now he has the voice of an angel at night to tell him she has been faithful. It is of God. I love the 24th and 25th verses because these verses remove Joseph from the ceramic nativity scene where he's standing in the corner in the shadows with that bewildered look on his face like, he's not bewildered. He's connected the dots. He remembers what he was taught in the synagogue about Isaiah's words. He remembers that Messiah would be coming. He's never dreamed it would be through the womb of his own fiancée. And so we read, Joseph woke up. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded. Before we go any further, just let that word did walk on all fours for a moment. It's called obedience. There's a verse of scripture in Proverbs 13:15, the last part of the verse, that says the way of the transgressor is hard. Well, I got news for everybody. The way of the obedient is often even harder. When the Lord guides you to do something that is out of the ordinary so that you step into the realm of risk that would not be approved or worse, understood by your contemporaries, obeying God has a price.
You're listening to the daily Bible teaching program known around the world as Insight for Living. Our Bible teacher, Chuck Swindoll, is midway through a message called Joseph, Did You Know? Stay with us. I'll share our contact information with you in just a moment. But first, Chuck, more than 45 years have passed since our very first broadcast in 1979, and some would assume you're ready to slow down and maybe retire.
I smile every time I hear Mark Twain's unique retort. When the rumors were traveling about his death, he made the comment, "The news concerning my death has been greatly exaggerated." That's a great line. I would say the news of my retirement has been greatly exaggerated. I feel like saying that today regarding the news of my retirement, as if retirement means I'm going home, closing the door, pulling the blinds, locking things up, sitting here to just wait for time to pass until I pass. Are you kidding? There's nothing within me that wants anything to do with a life like that. Let's look at it this way. I've left the pulpit ministry at Stonebriar Community Church as of October the 20th. I've been there for just a little bit more than 26 years, which seemed long enough. All of that happened at the same weekend of my 90th birthday. So I felt like this is a perfect time to step away from the pulpit, though Cynthia and I will be in regular attendance as worshipers at the church we love and have founded and have enjoyed over all of these years. So believe me, I'm very much alive, and I will be very active in this new chapter of my life. I'm moving a few hundred yards away from our church to the other building adjacent to the church property, which is the building that we call our International Headquarters for Insight for Living Ministries. While there, I want to do podcasts and interviews. I want to do some mentoring of our international students who hopefully one day will become my voice in their homeland, using their language as they spread the gospel as I've taught it through Insight for Living Ministries. You can think of it as their being my voice in their homeland. And we are expanding that with great delight and with great care that we do it well. I'm also going to be writing my memoir. I haven't quite begun that, but I'm thinking about it, and that will probably be my final volume. So I'm in no hurry to do that, but I look forward to it. Most of all, I want all of you to understand my energy and efforts will turn from what was once given to the church to Insight for Living Ministries. While I'm there, Cynthia and I are sharing the same office space, and I'm involved in touching the lives of people on our staff, friends of ours who have been close to the ministry through the years, and as I mentioned earlier, many of our international students who are still preparing for the ministry and would like to have some time with me personally. All of this is exciting to me, and it has been for these 45 plus years as I poured my life into this ministry that Cynthia and I founded back in 1979. By the way, from the very beginning, we have never had support from some large church, from some big denomination, or someone who says, just give us a call when you need a couple of $1,000 and we'll send the gift to you. We have none of that. We've operated by faith since we began. We've started like that, and we will continue like that because we believe that's the way we can sense God's pulse in leading us in the direction we should go. That also tells me and should inform you that your gifts are vital, as they have always been. From our very first broadcast to the last one you listened to, we are relying on those who love our ministry to support our ministry with prayer and with your financial gifts. As you're able to give a particular year-end gift at this time of the year, we would be very grateful. If you could be unusually generous, it would help us so much as we launch the new chapter in our history. And I look forward to ministering to you with great delight and with renewed energy as the old chapter of my life turns and the new chapter of my life begins. And remember, I'm not retiring.
Thanks, Chuck. Here's our contact information so you can reach out to Insight for Living. To send a year-end contribution in the mail, you can address your envelope to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. You can also call us at 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Again, if you'd like to write, it's Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. Or call us at 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us next time when Chuck Swindoll continues to describe the courageous response of Joseph, Tuesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Joseph, Did You Know?, was copyrighted in 2012, 2013, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.